what they know about them Texas boys.
You're listening to the most dangerous show in Texas, Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn.
Wherever you are, however you may be listening, it is now Fight Night. Welcome to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. I'm your host, a very tired Eddie Cross. You can find me on Twitter, at EddieExperience, one E in the middle. And joining me as always, just like Pablo Escobar's hippos, he's legally a person, Mr. Jordan Wahlberger. Jordan, if you haven't seen the weird story about Pablo Escobar and his hippos, Google it. You'll be in that thing for like half an hour.
To do that. So, Eddie, it's great to see you. It feels like it's been a while, but it's actually only been a week. I've been all over the place. You've been all over the place. Before we get into that, guys, you can follow us at Fight Night ATX on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. Eddie, there is so much going on. Last time I think we talked, we were talking about the terrible sports weekend that both of us had. The BYU losing, Texas losing, the Dodgers losing, the Astros losing. Since then, the Astros have won. Since then, Woo-hoo. The Dodgers have lost again. Since then, BYU has won. Texas didn't play. They'll play again. But overall, I mean, I'm going to say it. He's still kind of Zach Wilson is injured. Kind of a crappy sports weekend again.
Well, that's probably best for Zach Wilson, so he doesn't have to be the sitting duck for the Jets like Justin Fields was for the Bears. Good thing about the Bears playing the Buccaneers this past weekend, though. I knew they were going to lose, so I didn't have to worry about or, you know, stress about it.
Yeah, we talked a few weeks ago about, Sam Darnold's actually pretty good. Well, that's maybe not the case either.
Yeah, well, up and down. Let's go with up and down.
Let's just say no. So, yeah. Well, it's great to see you, my friend. I got a few pictures from you across the weekend. I know that you were in California. We talked about this. This is the fall of Eddie, really in full effect. The autumn of Eddie in full effect. And you were kind of in my own stomping grounds.
Yeah, this was the peak of it. And I didn't get to go into Whittier itself. I got to Pasadena.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it. But Pasadena's close, right?
Yeah, it is. The Rose Parade every single year. We used to go to the Rose Parade. I would camp out at night on the streets of, Colorado Boulevard, and get a spot for the Rose Parade. It's a lot of fun.
That just sounds weird.
It is. That's what you do, though.
It's camping out for a parade. That's okay. All right. That's awesome, though.
And camp out, actually, the people start camping out now like days before. Usually, we would show up on the 31st around, mid-afternoon, and then we would spend the night. And, you know, it's a lot of fun out on the parade route. And then...
Jordan, those are the homeless, Jordan.
That's actually true. Now they're there from like the 26th on. They are camping. They're making their spot for the Rose Parade.
July on, yeah.
So you saw the Clippers. It makes me happy.
Man, let me give you a timeline here. Fly in Friday night, get there around 7-ish. Waiting on my cousin to land. He landed around 9. He shows up. We go to Fatburger downtown L.A. Let me tell you. Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, Fatburger, I used to tell you something. Back in like the early 90s, I had season tickets to the Clippers. And if the Clippers scored over 100 points and they won, everybody got a free Fatburger. Now, I'll be honest, didn't happen a ton because the Clippers weren't very good back in the day. But when they did do that, we definitely took advantage of it. So go ahead. Sorry to interrupt your story.
Let's say I'm upset that In-N-Out has taken over Texas and not Fatburger. Fatburger is much better than In-N-Out. I am upset. I can't just like go down Palmer here and have a Fatburger like I can get In-N-Out.
So you're saying that your rankings now for hamburgers is now Fatburger number one and then In-N-Out number two?
No, it's Whataburger number one. Ugh. Fatburger number two. No, Mighty Fine number two. Fatburger number three.
Okay.
In-N-Out number 25.
Okay, well, I mean, I do love Mighty Fine. I do love Whataburger. You know, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, you can't help it, man. But then let's see. So that was it for Friday, though. We called it a night. Saturday, we get up. Game day has agreed with me that UCLA Oregon was a great game, and they were there. I slept through that. There was no way I was going to game day at 6 in the morning West Coast time. But we did get up, and as a longtime 311 fan, I figured I had to make myself a pilgrimage to the Hive recording studio. At 5500 Cahuenga Boulevard.
Cahuenga,
is that how you say that?
Yeah, say it. Cahuenga.
Went up to North Hollywood. Just took a couple pictures, got out of there. Tried to go to the Griffith Observatory. And in true Hollywood fashion, it was shut down for a movie. Had the Uber driver drive us all the way up there, wind it up through there. He's like, nope, this is as far as you can go, and you can't even walk up there anymore. So we just had him take us straight to the Rose Bowl. Get there. Tailgating scene is so much different, more organized and chill than it is here in Texas. It was pretty fun. I liked it. Went to the game. Game was fun. I think I was wearing a Texas football shirt. Only one hater that I didn't even notice. My cousin told me that someone walked past and did like a horns down. But all in all, lots of love for the Texas people. Even saw two or three other people wearing Texas gear. So that was cool. Yeah. Saw a couple plaques on the wall from Texas Rose Bowl victories. That was cool. And then from there, had to go to Roscoe's.
Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles is a must.
And there's one just a couple miles from the Rose Bowl, right there in Pasadena. Hit that. And on the way home, we decide, you know what? They're still the night's young. The Clippers are playing.
The Grizz.
Let's go to the Staples Center.
The Clippers are playing the Grizzlies, which, you know, usually back in the day, you'd be like, oh, the Grizzlies. But John Morant, I mean, John Morant's legit.
Yeah, I mean, he should pass the ball more, but he is legit. And I was like, you know what? Any chance that I get to boo Kawhi Leonard, I want to take it. And for $20, definitely in the building.
Was Kawhi there?
He was not, so I didn't get to boo him.
Okay.
In my spirit, though, I booed Kawhi. And Jordan, if you see my shirt.
I love that. All hands.
Uh-huh. L.A.? What's it say? L.A. our way?
Yeah.
Well, guess what, buddy? I snagged another one.
Oh, my gosh. L.A. So, all day. Hey, okay, you know what just motivated me to give you your football? That shirt.
That's right.
That actually, I may come see you tomorrow, Eddie.
That's why I grabbed that shirt. I'm like, he's giving me my ball.
What if I show up to get that ball, that shirt, and I don't have your ball?
You know I've got a gun, right?
we'll get into my weekend, and we can talk about guns. We're talking about guns like I ain't got none. What, you think I sold them all?
I'm sorry. You quoting Dr. Dre while I'm talking about L.A. might be the epitome of this show.
I think that's the apex. We've hit the apex.
But we leave the Staples Center, hear this guy talking about he wants to go outside and get some street meat. And me and his friend look at him weird, like, are you ordering a male prostitute? What is that? There's this company, I don't know if you've been downtown L.A. much lately. They're selling bacon-wrapped hot dogs up and down the street.
That is the thing.
Yeah. And, oh, it smells so good. So I had to get myself some hashtag street meat on the way home. We walked back to the hotel since it was only like a mile, and picking up a car would have taken forever. Sunday, try to go to LAX, drop off my luggage so I can go to the beach and go to the Rams game. Southwest won't take it.
How come? So I got too early? It's more than 4 hours before the flight?
Yeah, more than 4 hours before the flight. So I had to find someplace to store my bag. Found a place, an app called Stasher. They'll store your bag. Only cost $6. Problem was, cost me $50 to get a car to get there to Venice. But then I go, and that's when I texted you. I had lunch at Venice Beach.
So I have a question. When you're at Venice Beach, what's that? Did you see Hulk Hogan there? Was he lifting weights?
I did not. I was hoping to see Sting.
Yeah.
But I don't think I wasn't by the Muscle Beach part. I was by the pier. So I just, you know, took a jaunt around the pier, went all the way out there. Sat down for a minute, had the peacefulness of the Pacific Ocean wash over me.
Love it.
And then I had to book it to get to the SoFi Stadium.
Oh, so you did go to the Rams game.
I did go to the Rams game.
Oh, nice.
Got to see the Rams play the Lions. I got to boo the Lions as a Bears fan. So check that out. I got to see Matthew Stafford throw his 300th touchdown.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did they give you the ball and then have to take it away from you?
I was way too high up for that.
Okay. They would have to throw that ball as far as they could to get to you.
As they would need a cannon, and I don't mean a t-shirt cannon. Got to sit next to some guys in Rams luchador masks.
Okay.
Like, oh, these are my people right here.
Yeah.
But then I left at halftime because my phone was going to die. I needed to get a car to get back to my bag to get to LAX.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Eddie,
and
it
then
sounds
I get,
like
get
yeah.
to LAX.
Go ahead.
My flight gets delayed 5 hours.
Oh.
I was supposed to land, I don't remember what time I was supposed to land, wheels down in Austin, almost 4 a.m.
Golly. Well, it's,
I get home at 5 a.m. Had to be at work at 8:30.
Okay.
Made it. Passed out on the couch. a couple hours ago.
Proud of you. All right. Well, hey.
Only Southwest could ruin a day that started out in Venice Beach.
Don't blame them. Maybe blame them.
Eddie, who do I blame?
Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful trip. I'm glad you enjoyed Los Angeles. Some of my favorite stomping grounds. I love some of those places you went to.
Veritable smorgasbord.
That's fantastic. I went dove hunting over the weekend. So I took Drake and we went dove hunting about in Goldbusk, Texas, about 2.5 hours away, and out through Lampasas in Goldbusk. And
that's one I've never heard of.
We hunted dove, and Drake and I got a few. We didn't get as many as we would like. We have not eaten them yet, but we will be eating about 5 bites of dove total. So kind of an expensive per dove bite.
So. Each dove is about a bite.
Yes.
Is Marlo gonna cook those, or are you gonna prepare them yourself?
No, I will cook it. I will smoke it. A little bit of bacon, a little bit of jalapeno, and a little dove bite. So it'll be good.
Was she against cooking the dove?
She does not want it in our freezer right now, but there's not a whole dove in our freezer, just the breast of a dove. So, Eddie, well, we've got to get into it. We've talked about, I love hearing about your travels and I love hearing about California, but there was some fights
this weekend.
Remind me
later to tell you about the Uber drivers.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to hear about that.
She might have been a little racist.
Well, that's not surprising for Uber drivers.
But not against me.
Well, I hope so. Eddie, let's talk about it. UFC Las Vegas 41. This was a weird one, and it started being weird throughout the last week. So we talked about this. We were super excited for a 185-pound middleweight main event between Marvin Vettori versus Paulo Costa on Wednesday night. It started becoming a little soap opera where Paulo Costa, we heard, was not going to make weight. He was unable to make that 185-pound limit. So they agreed upon 195-pound weight cut. So they verbally agreed to it. And then on Thursday night, we find out that he actually can't even make the 205-pound or the 195-pound weight limit that they agreed upon. And so now he wants to fight at 205 pounds. At the end of the day, Marvin Vettori, he accepts the fight. He accepts moving up, 20 pounds. Dana White, after the fight, said that Vettori came in weighing 208 pounds to fight night, and Paulo Costa weighed 220 pounds. Now, Paulo Costa claims that he had a bicep injury during camp that prevented him from being able to cut weight. We'll get to that later. But at the end of the day...
Yeah, I got a lot to say about that.
Marvin Vettori defeats Paulo Costa by decision, 49-46, Eddie. This was a heck of a scrap. This was a great fight, a great middleweight fight. Vettori, he withstood some really heavy shots. He's got a chin, man. But according to ESPN, Marvin Vettori had 190 shots. Paulo Costa had 163 shots. That's combined for 353 significant strikes landed, which is the fourth largest count in UFC history. And here's the caveat from them. The largest count ever, not featuring Max Holloway. I love that. I love that they actually add the not Max Holloway stat right there. So,
man, okay, so... Oh, but and yes, that was especially that one head kick that he took. How Vettori didn't go down with that, no clue, no clue. But Paulo Costa and his non-weight cut. I think he normally walks around 210, 212, something like that. So he was able to get down to like 204 and a half. But there are questions like, oh, did he do it on purpose? Just so he could fight at this weight, just so he could take out Vettori, or does he want the UFC to let him go so he can make more money elsewhere? Is he just lazy? I don't know how a bicep keeps you from hitting the treadmill or sitting around the sauna. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Or not eating.
But also, not eating. But also, Paulo Costa got COVID twice. To me, that's probably a bigger issue than any of that other stuff. Because I've explained to you before, there have been times I've been fine, and all of a sudden, after a little activity, I just feel completely drained. And I had COVID almost a year ago. And it didn't last that long. Like a week and a half, maybe. So, and this idiot's had it twice and won't get vaccinated. Because he thinks his antibodies are going to help him out. I'm like, if they were going to help out, you wouldn't have got it the second time. But having to go through that twice, there's no telling what kind of damage that wreaked on his lungs.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? So in the end of the day, the weight cut really didn't matter, right? Marvin Vettori gets the win. But I do want to get into the fight, right? So Paulo Costa, he received a point deduction in the second round for poking Marvin Vettori. You heard him protest the decision. No, don't give it to me. Even Daniel Cormier complained about the point that was being removed Do you think it was the right move to take? Did he warrant losing a point for that?
Yeah, the ref told him. Ref said that he'd already been warned. So how many times do you warn a guy before you lose an eyeball, right? And of course, Daniel Cormier, who almost blinded Stipe Miocic, would be upset with that. But yeah, I think it was a good move, and I wish more referees would do it. You might eliminate some of these things in the fight game a lot faster.
Yeah.
Than just warning them three times.
So referee Jason Herzog, he actually warned him, right? You said during the first and second round that he needed to close his fist. So yeah, so when you get that poke in the second round, I mean, yeah, you take a point. I'm actually good with that. I like that there's actual consequences, Eddie, for breaking the rules. We actually have 3-point deductions on the night, 2 for eye pokes, and then 1 more for an illegal knee. Herzog actually was the one that took away the other point from Sengwoo Choi for the illegal knee. You know, we mentioned that Daniel Cormier, obviously he said that Herzog was buying into the hype of Costa being the bad guy this week, and so he was too quick to take away the point because he was reading the headlines, he said. I don't know if I like that. So, Costa,
or he's watching your finger go in the guy's eyeball.
Yeah. To Costa's credit, though, right? I mean, I was impressed. He actually, I thought he'd come in. I thought he'd be gassed. And he actually looked good in that fifth round. He actually won the fifth round on all 3 scorecards. So, you know, that extra weight, he actually didn't come in like, hey, gassed and overweight. So not a bad performance, but it also kind of shows, hey, and we're going to get to this a little bit, but he should probably be at 205 pounds.
A light heavyweight. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So
now he might be a small light heavyweight, but he'll get bigger.
Yeah, let's talk about Marvin Vettori, right? So he has 2 losses to the champ, Israel Adesanya. I can't imagine that he's going to get a title shot anytime soon, right? He just beat the number 2 ranked guy. You know, maybe he takes his spot in the rankings. But you got to, you know, you have Derek Brunson fighting Jared Cannonier. That fight's happening at UFC 270 in January. Izzy and Robert Whittaker are they're supposed to be fighting on the February 12th pay-per-view, UFC 271. That's supposed to be in either Seattle or Canada. If I was Vettori, though, I would not wait. I would not try to wait and try to get a winner somewhere else. I would be busy because that's what's going to keep you in the good graces of the UFC. Obviously, you're in great graces because you took the fight this week and you won. But if I was Vettori, you're going to have to fight down because especially if you move up to the second position, you know, everyone's going to be below you. I think the fight to make is you make him fight Sean Strickland, who is a crazy person, and that 2 crazy people fighting is just exciting.
Dude, sign me up for that one. Just even this one time, I might actually watch the press conference.
Yeah, that would be
interesting. Because there's no telling what's going to come out of their mouths.
I would just say that it's crazy that Marvin Vettori came out as the babyface out of this weekend. People like to hate Paulo Costa, and you would think that Marvin Vettori, who's just like angry Marvin, for him to come out as the babyface where people were cheering for him and you know, happy that he won, that says something about how much they dislike Paulo Costa.
In fairness to fight fans, people like to hate guys who don't make weight, too.
Yeah, no, that's
so
true.
It is unprofessional. If there's an issue, you know, you talk about it, you figure it out long before the week before the fight. You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think we go to the other way. We talk about Paulo Costa. After the fight, Dana White said that he would absolutely have to move up to 205 pounds in the future. I think he's actually lucky he didn't get cut, right? If he didn't have a better fight, I mean, that's super unprofessional how it happened, how it went down. He didn't seem ever to be like he was, you know, felt bad about it to Vittoria. And obviously, you don't have to do that to the public. But Costa disagrees. He says he wants to remain at 185 pounds. He says that, you know, the bicep was the reason. I hate when fighters come up with these excuses for missing weight or being injured before the fight. Like, don't come tell me after the fight that you're injured. If you're injured, don't fight, right?
Right. Well, that also gets back to the fighter pay issue. It's like, if I had enough money to where, like, some of these guys say, you know, I'm broke or I can't pay my house note, then maybe they wouldn't hide the injuries and they would drop out. But that's a whole different argument.
So if Paulo Costa does indeed move up to 205 pounds, Eddie, is there anyone you'd like to see him fight? I'm good with it, really, anyone in the 10 to 15, you know, ranking range.
Well, I want to see Thiago Santos. That would be a great one. And especially if you can finally go back to Brazil, those guys can headline something easily. And that'd be a huge moneymaker. And that's another reason that Dana won't cut Paulo Costa.
Anything else you want to highlight on the card, Eddie?
You talked a little bit about Bruce Leroy, Alex Caceres. That was a kind of a fun fight. He was actually getting work there. What's his name? Sungwoo Choi, he looked really good, had really sharp striking, and if it had gone all the way, he probably would have won a decision. But Caceres, and by the way, I watched all this at LAX on my phone, at your urging, which is a good move. Caceres was the definition of a wily veteran. He kind of ducked under a punch and was able to take Choice back and get the submission from there. I mean, he went from underneath to the backpack position so fast, Choi didn't have a chance. And then the prelim main fight, I think it won fight of the night, Rodriguez versus Park. That one was a fun to watch. I mean, it was the definition of fighting in a phone booth, that second round. That was fun.
Nice. Well, hey, let's jump into Bellator 269. I was surprised, right? We thought that the Timothy Johnson matchup was going to be bad. I mean, he had just fought for a title in Bellator. We thought that, you know, this is someone, why wouldn't Fedor just fight against Tin Cans as opposed to fighting someone who is, you know, relevant in the division? But it was a big win. Fedor, he got the win. He knocks out Timothy Johnson, third, you know, three-punch combo, first round, I mean, literally, you know, under 2 minutes to finish the fight.
So the Russian three-piece in a soda?
He did. I don't know what the equivalent is in Russia, but.
Yeah, I'm not even going to go there. So maybe, like we were thinking earlier, maybe Fedor's camp saw something in Timothy Johnson when he fought for the interim heavyweight title against, was it Ankalev? What's the?
Moldovsky.
Yeah. When he fought him, maybe they saw something, and Fedor's like, oh, I can take advantage of that and have a great homecoming in Moscow against Timothy Johnson. And he was right.
Yeah,
I mean, talk about a wily veteran.
Who knows what's going to happen? Like, if that fight goes past 2 minutes, if Johnson can take him down, but it doesn't matter, right? Fedor finishes him off. But it's interesting. I'm interested now. I'm a little worried, Eddie. What does this mean for Fedor? You know, I think he's won four of his last five fights. He's got wins over, Timothy Johnson now, Rampage, Chael, Frank Mir. The only losses to Ryan Bader going back to 2018. I don't want him to think that, hey, I've got it, right? I'm still in there. I can still compete with the best of them. I don't love that.
I don't know about the best of them, but the middling of them.
Well,
he can definitely compete with.
I've heard is he wants Ryan Bader. He wants to fight for the title.
You know, well, if you saw Bader's last fight, you might think he has a chance after this.
Yeah, but they fought before, actually, it wasn't great.
Yeah, that was once before. That's why they have rematches.
Ooh.
And you know what? I hate to say it, but sign me up for it, man.
Oh, man.
If we can see Fedor take another heavyweight title right before he retires, or just have this be the last one on his contract and just walk away with a belt, dude. And then you get another tournament afterwards for the vacant heavyweight title. Sign me up for all of that.
All right. So for me, I don't love that, right? I don't love the idea of Ryan Bader, but I would like to see him fight. So Scott Coker says he does have one more fight on this contract. I wouldn't mind seeing him fight against someone like a Junior Dos Santos or an Alistair Overeem, even
great.
A Verdum, I think. And although I know that Dos Santos is out there wrestling, I still think he can make the time and fight Fedor.
Yeah, Dos Santos or Overeem, those are my top choices in that group. And there's still someone out there like Jake Hager, who has a kind of a big name that can bring in other fans from other places like AEW wrestling.
I want Jake Hager to fight Junior Santos too. I think that would be a good one where they could do it in the ring and then they could do it in the cage.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I've seen Hager stand up. I'm not too sure, but his wrestling's still pretty great.
Yeah. Hey, we mentioned some bad takes by Daniel Cormier. He had one last week. He said that this is what he said. He said that if Fedor came over to the UFC in 2009, he would have been average at best. He said, look, versus Brock Lesnar, I'll give you that. I think he beats Brock Lesnar. But outside of that, I don't think Fedor competes very well in the UFC. I think that, honestly, Fedor not going to the UFC allowed for the intrigue to stay. But the reality of the situation is he would not have done well against those guys like JDS, and he wasn't beating Cain Velasquez. He would have struggled with guys like Chuck Congo. He was not beating those guys that were at the top of the UFC at the time. I'm certain of it. I know you're going to say, well, he beat this guy. He beat Big Nog, and he beat Frank Mir. For as great as he is, he would have been at the time of the sport, average at best, I'm telling you, Fedor in the UFC 2009 to 2011, average at best. So, Eddie, I went and found a listing of the it's unofficial heavyweight ranking of the UFC. I want you to tell me who does Fedor beat and who does he lose to. And granted, this is 2010 before Fedor had lost to Verdum or anyone yet, okay?
Okay.
All right. Brock Lesnar.
Fedor.
Shane Carwin.
Fedor.
Cain Velasquez.
Then I might go with Cain.
I'm going to go with Cain, too. Junior Dos Santos.
Yeah. Fedor.
I think I go with Cain there. Or excuse me, I go with Fedor. I go with Junior there. Back in the day, that's prior to Junior winning the title as well.
Yeah, Fedor's got the wrestling, though.
All right, Frank Mir.
That's a tough one. Push.
Because 2010 Frank Mir, and Frank Mir had just lost to Brock Lesnar then, by the way. Roy Nelson.
Yeah. Fedor.
Mirko Krokop.
It already been proven. Fedor. Yeah,
Stefan Struve.
Don't even make me say it.
Kimbo Slice is on the list as the top 10 heavyweight at the time, which is crazy.
What? Above and then, Nog?
And then Big Nog, which is crazy. So yeah,
come on.
That's
and
a bad
even
take.
Mentioning Czech Congo?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
That's terrible.
So, I hate to say it, but someone might have to check DC for CT.
That's a good one. Hey, I do just want to mention Usman Nurmagomedov. He made quick work of Patrick Pitela. He's 14-0. I do want to see him fight some good competition. Habib was there cornering him, and then Khabib was super happy for Fedor to get the win. Eddie, did you see Shakur Stevenson dominate Jamal Herring on...
I did not.
Well, that happened, and he represented. So, Eddie... Yeah.
I was at the Staples Center watching Clyde the Condor, I believe, do a backflip off a very, very tall ladder to dunk it.
Nice. Well, that is great.
I'll show you a video sometime.
Awesome. Well, guys, that was Eddie's trip to California. That was UFC Las Vegas 41 and Bellator 269. Guys, you're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
It's What's Up With That.
Woke up this morning and I got out of bed. Had a big old cup of coffee to clear my head. Been home for a while and that's where I'm at. But we can still jam on What's Up With That. Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? Ooh-wee. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that? You, yeah. Woo! Well.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn and hornfm.com. Jordan, I didn't get to see Saturday Night Live because, you know, I was at the Clippers game. But I did see that they had a Halloween theme. What up with that? And I was gonna text you to make sure you got the audio because they changed the song for Halloween. But I knew you had Bigger Dove to Fry.
I did have Bigger Dove to Fry. I mean, that's our namesake. You know, what exciting. I was excited to have it. Lindsey Buckingham looked a little bit different this time. But overall, it was great to see Fred Armisen, Jason Sudeikis, obviously the host this week. It was a fun time.
Yeah, it was good. And I love that song. But moving on real quick, Jordan. Nate Diaz has one more fight on his contract. What's up with that?
Yeah, so the UFC might just let one of their biggest names walk away. Nate Diaz, he's got one fight left. And he's been trying to get a fight signed. Now, I believe he's going to test free agency. He was supposed to fight Vicente Luque. He's also called out Tony Ferguson over the weekend. Dana was asked about it. He said that he did have one fight left. He said Tony Ferguson is not who they're working on. But they said they are trying to find a fight for Nate. Obviously, if Nate doesn't sign a new contract prior to the fight, I think he's going to get a really tough matchup. Now, the way that UFC contracts work is that if you don't accept a fight, I think they extend your contract like 6 months. So you would think that, hey, we're going to give you this really tough person that is a terrible matchup style, so you don't look good going into free agency. And if Nate says no, then he has to stay longer. So Nate Diaz, I think you got to think there's a market for Nate Diaz outside of the UFC.
Oh, yeah. If you can get him in Bellator against someone like MVP, oh, my God, take my wallet now. But they're missing out if he can't fight Conor.
Yeah.
Now, Jordan, Joanna Jędrzejczyk has been removed from the UFC rankings? What's up with that?
Yeah, so according to UFC officials, Joanna has been removed to the rankings just due to inactivity, not because she's no longer with the organization. They're going to put her back when she's ready to fight. It sounds like she's looking to fight again in spring 2022. But hey, we just talked about this a couple weeks ago, right? I want to see her fight. I think a fight against her and Marina Rodriguez would be great. You know, she hasn't fought since she fought Zhang Weili back in March 2020. And that was at the beginning of the pandemic, right? So it's been a while since we saw Double J in the octagon.
Good point. And there have been other people that they let hang around those rankings for a long time, so it doesn't make much sense, but what can you do? Speaking of what can you do, Kevin Lee has been suspended for a failed drug test. What's up with that?
Yeah, so the Nevada State Athletic Commission placed Kevin Lee on a temporary suspension after he tested positive for the amphetamine Adderall. So Lee, he tested positive for the banned substance after his unanimous decision loss to Daniel Rodriguez, his welterweight fight back in August. He did say that he informed USADA of his Adderall use, but he actually didn't apply for the therapeutic exemption within Nevada State Athletic Commission. So that would have actually probably allowed him to compete taking the drug. So he's going to give his case on their next meeting on November 17th. So kind of interesting. Eddie, we got to go quick because I want to make sure we
paperwork.
Have plenty of time to cover everything we have in this this coming weekend. But I want to tell you some new fights. Josh Emmett versus Dan Ige. I love that fight, man. That is great. You've got Renato Moicano versus Alexander Hernandez, Cynthia Calvillo versus Andrea Lee, Clay Guida versus Leonardo Santos. You've got a couple of fights, Vanessa Demopoulos versus Ashley Yoder, Caitlin Chookagian versus Jennifer Maya. That's a good fight. Joaquin Buckley versus Abdul Razak Al-Hassan. I like that fight. Vivian Araujo versus Alexa Grasso. We've got Worley Alves versus Jack Della Maddalena. And then we've got a good fight, Eddie. This is probably the best fight that Bellator can make right now. Sergio Pettis fighting the returning to Bellator, Kyoji, or returning to fight for a Bellator title, Kyoji Horiguchi for the Bellator, for the Bantamweight title. So, Eddie, that is new fights. That's what's up with that, guys. You're listening to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com, and we will be right back.
Until next time. Hey. What's up with that? What's up with that?
The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here. The champ is here.
Welcome back to Fight Night on 104.9 The Horn, hornfm.com. Eddie, the champ is here times eight. It is not times very often eight. That I tell you that eight champions will be crowned in a week. But that is exactly what's happening here. But before, Eddie, actually, that's not actually true. After the PFL crowns their six champions, and before the UFC crowns a couple champions, Texas football goes up against Baylor. They're going up I-35 up to Waco. Hopefully they'll do better than the BYU Cougars a few weeks ago. Kickoff is at 11 a.m. on ABC. Pregame at 7 a.m. right here on the Horn. It's exciting. It's exciting times, Eddie. But this Wednesday night, six champions will be crowned, plus Clarissa Shields returns to the Smart Circle. Is it the Smart Cage?
Yeah.
As PFL, now, oh man, it's ESPN2?
Yeah.
Man, I'm going to be on a plane on Wednesday night during this time. I was really hoping that I could just watch it on the plane. That'd be fantastic, but no.
I think you can still watch it on ESPN Plus.
Well, I don't have ESPN Plus on the plane either. I only have ESPN. That would have been the, that would have worked.
Oh. Well, you know,
I don't think Southwest has ESPN 2. I know they don't have ESPN Plus.
First off, why don't you have ESPN Plus?
On Southwest?
At all.
No, I have it, but I'll be on a plane, and I don't have internet there. It's just
Wi-Fi. Yeah, you just have to pay for it.
Yeah, but you can't stream on a plane.
Don't be a cheapskate, Jordan.
No, that's not what it is. You can pay. You can pay for Wi-Fi, but I still don't think that it's power like strong enough to stream. Like they say, like it's not for like Netflix or anything else. It's just for, like, doing work, which I can do. I will do work.
Well, I will text you updates, and you'll get them all when you land.
Well, if you I'll have my iMessage on for free. I will have Wi-Fi, so you can text me on your on your iPod.
Which way are you headed?
I'm going to D.C. this week.
Okay. What time are you leaving?
I leave at 5:40, and I get back at around 8:30. So I'll be able to see, like, the final fights. So it'll be okay.
Yeah, I think you'll be able to see the main event.
Yeah. No, I want to see Clarissa Shields as well. Clarissa Shields is must watch.
I think the prelims start at 7. Don't quote me on that.
All right.
Because when I looked at the guy, I actually looked at the guide on my DirecTV stream earlier, and it said 7 to 11.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I'll be watching.
I think that 7 o'clock is prelims.
Well, Eddie, according to Wiz Khalifa, who I think is part of an owner of the PFL, there will be some million-dollar moments this week as they crown their champions of the women's lightweight,
six of them.
The welterweight, the women's lightweight, excuse me, the featherweight, the heavyweight, the light heavyweight, and the lightweight tournament champions will be crowned. Was there not a welterweight, Ray Cooper? I was like, well, I thought there was. There's no middleweight. That's right. Eddie, this is a fun fight card. I like how PFL does. I'm a little confused that it's the middle of October on a Wednesday that we're doing it then. I thought it was going to be at the end of the year. But you got Kayla Harrison fighting Taylor Guardado. Kayla Harrison obviously going to be a huge favorite going into this fight. This is her final fight on the PFL on this contract. She could obviously sign a new contract. But I'm obviously Kayla Harrison, must see TV. And I would hope, right, that she's going to go to the UFC after this.
Let's hope. And you can only assume that they weren't getting enough eyeballs on their product the last couple of years, having it on like New Year's Eve, competing with New Year's Eve parties, bowl games, and of course last year, COVID. That was fun. Actually, there wasn't a PFL. So, but before that, you got to imagine they just didn't get enough eyeballs. And also, why can't they just take the rest of the year off? Why not?
I guess. Well, then I would expect you to start earlier in the next season then, right? Start earlier in the year than in like April. So in the co-main event, you've got Ray Cooper III versus Magomed Karimov. A couple of previous winners going after Magomed Karimov defeated Ray Cooper in the finals of the two seasons ago. So I'm excited for that. I think that's a great fight. I would expect Ray Cooper to win that as well.
Defending his championship this year.
Clarissa Shields, she's fighting Abigail Montes. Now, this is she's actually going to fight someone a little bit more on her level. Abigail Montes is 2-0, so she's not fighting someone who's like a brown belt that has a ton of experience.
Yeah, last time I think who she fought had like nine.
Yeah, it was
nine fights as opposed to her zero. I'm like, PFL, what are you doing? Luckily, her talent won out in the end, but they really almost ruined a huge star for the future by booking stupidly.
Movlid Kayabulov versus Chris Wade for the featherweight. Antti Delija versus Bruno Capellosi. You know those names, those household names right there. Antonio Carlos Jr. versus Martin Hamlet. And then a real bummer, right? You had in lightweight, you thought like maybe Anthony Pettis was going to make it, but it's Loik Radzibov versus Roush Manfio. So Omar Yakovlev.
Not a lot of Wikipedia pages. Yeah, amongst these championship fights.
But it's fun, right? So you guys, each winner, they will win the tournament. They will get $1 million, and they will be the champion of that division. So
yeah, and if you look early on in the prelim card, former Bellator women's featherweight champion Julia Budd is making the switch over to PFL, having her debut fight on the prelims.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Eddie, the UFC is going back-to-back weekends with pay-per-view events. You got UFC 267, I guess not free, it's ESPN Plus, this Saturday. Main card's at 1 p.m. here, so that's going to go, you know, right head-to-head with the UFC card. But this card is awesome. And then you have UFC.
Longhorns game.
The Texas game. Right? What's that?
Yeah. I think it'll start about halftime of the Longhorns game.
Yeah.
The main card, at least. Yeah.
And then the following week, you have UFC 268 on pay-per-view. So two numbered pay-per-views 2 weeks in a row.
I guess it's just a numbered event, not a pay-per-view, since it's not pay-per-view.
Yes, that's true.
We'll just call it pay-per-view. Fine. Yeah.
All right. So this card is awesome. And it's great that it's free and it's middle of the day. You've got in the main event, you've got Jan Blachowicz coming off that win over Israel Adesanya, fighting Glover Teixeira coming off. Who is Glover Teixeira beat in his last fight? Do you know? He knocked his teeth out.
Is it Dominic Reyes?
Anthony Smith.
Or Anthony Smith.
I want to say it's Anthony Smith, and he has waited until Dominic Reyes hasn't fought since he fought Jan Blachowicz. So that'll be a fun fight, right? Glover Teixeira, it's kind of hard to imagine that Glover Teixeira at his age is still getting title shots.
You think about the damage these two put on their last couple of opponents.
Oh, yeah.
Dominic Reyes, his face was rearranged.
We have not seen him
since. Anthony Smith's out there losing teeth. This fight is not getting the credit it deserves because they're both a couple of older gentlemen from across a couple of ponds.
Yeah.
But this is a hell of a fight.
Yeah, Glover's fighting out of, I think, Danbury, Connecticut. But in the co-main event, you've got Bantamweight. This is for the interim championship. Piotr Jan versus Corey Sandhagen. This was obviously supposed to be Jan versus Sterling. Sterling had to be removed from the fight, still not recovered. Corey Sandhagen stepping in after coming off a loss, debated loss, but still a loss to TJ Dillashaw.
But still, it's going to be a hell of a fight.
I love this fight,
because those two are going to go at it.
Because you think, like, Corey Sandhagen, we've always thought that he's somebody that could be at the top of the division, right?
And
so you can't be at the top of the division without beating Piotr Jan. So he's going to have to go through him eventually. So I'm happy to see it now.
And free.
Yeah, and free.
And you don't have to wait up till like midnight to watch too.
That's the best part, too.
I'm going to get a lot of use out of my four screens this weekend.
There you go. Islam Makhachev fighting Dan Hooker. Islam Makhachev, this is a big step up in competition. This was supposed to be Makhachev versus RDA. But Makhachev, you know, he really is like a monster. He hasn't fought anyone as good as Hooker. And so this will be kind of a good test to see where he is. But then for Dan Hooker, right? I mean, he just defeated Nasrat Haqparast. He decided, you know, I'm not going to go back. I'm just going to stay here and train and then pick up this fight, which is great chance for him to continue to move up in the division.
Now, which one do you think was a bigger step up in competition, with RDA being a former lightweight champ and Dan Hooker being who Dan Hooker is these days? either one is a huge step up, but I think this is actually a little step down for him.
Yeah, I think it is a step down from where RDA, well, I think it, I mean, in name value it is, but I think of skill set, I think if you put Dan Hooker versus RDA right now, I give the nod to Dan Hooker.
Oh.
So.
All right.
I mean, remember, RDA, this is after a failed move to, I can't say failed, he fought for an interim title, but a move to welterweight, so he's coming back down. You've got Volkov versus Tybura, and then the fight that I'm really looking forward to, Li Jinglang.
Let's not skip over that one, though.
Well, and that's a fun
Volkov
one.
Volkov versus Tybura, that's a banger, man.
I do like that. But the return of Khamzat Chimaev, Eddie. We were supposed to see Chimaev fight multiple times over the last year against Leon Edwards, and finally, I'm happy to see him. And I just want to see kind of, we had so much like promise for him and for what he could do. And I want to see if the hype is real, right? The last fight was just a quick, I think it was Gerard Meerschaert is who he defeated. And he defeated him very quickly. And it was through strikes. And so I want to see, you know, just how good Khamzat is and get him fighting at that pace that he was so regularly.
Yeah, great point. And a really cool thing is, there's so much international talent on this card. It's basically the reason that Fight Island was created, to get international talent, you know, keep them busy, have them fight when they can't get into the USA because of COVID. And a lot of these guys have been waiting for a while.
Is there only one U.S. fighter on the main card?
Yeah, Sandhagen.
Yeah, just Sandhagen.
Yeah.
Which is great, which is why you have Fight Island, just like you said.
Exactly. Real world champs. Not just, I hate to say it, like most American sports, we call ourselves world champs, but we're just playing each other. Best of the best across the globe.
And you have guys that are legitimately like future champions on here. I do think that, you know, Peter Yan, has been a champion. Corey Sandhagen could be a champion. Islam Makhachev could be a champion. Khamzat Chimaev could be a champion. You have so many good fighters on this card. Volkov has been a champion for another division or another organization before. So just Volkan Ozdemir fought for a title. There's just so much going on. Dan Hooker, probably not going to be a champion, but he is on the cusp. Amanda Hebus in the, you know, she's on the strawweight on the prelims fighting Virna Jandiroba. Easy Dos Santos. That's a good fight.
Yep.
I mean, just all in all, I mean, this is a really good fight card.
This really is a good card, man. And hopefully people are paying attention because these prelims, it's a lot of prelims too. What is that?
All right. So
9 prelims, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely, it's going to be a great fight. Hey, real quick, Eddie, tell me about what's going on in boxing.
Oh, man. This weekend, we're supposed to have a title eliminator between WBC interim champ Dylan White and Otto Wallin, who, you remember, gave Tyson Fury hell, I guess, last year.
Yep. That cut on White Tyson Fury.
Yeah, which should have been stopped. Yeah, White has pulled out of the matchup because as the interim champ, he is the mandatory challenger for Tyson Fury. And they're claiming it's a shoulder injury, but I have a hard time believing that because they've already said how much he wants to fight Fury for the title. He said it would be like the biggest all-British heavyweight title fight since Lennox Lewis and Frank Bruno. So why bother with Otto Wallin when you can just skip that over and just go straight to Tyson Fury? I have a little trouble believing that as a shoulder injury, and so does Valine's camp. But hey, I'm all for White facing Fury next, and they're already looking like they're talking about March for that one.
Yep, that sounds great. Well, hey, man, Eddie, it is great to see you. It's been a great night. I mean, I am pumped for this weekend. PFL on Wednesday night, and then UFC 267. Remember, it's not on pay-per-view. Main card starts at 1 o'clock on ESPN+. Guys, have a great weekend. Thank you so much. Check out us on Twitter, on FightNateATX, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. And we will see you next week.
Be safe, get vaccinated, stay positive, and love your life. And if we ever didn't thank you, let us do it now.
Happy trails to you till we meet again.